You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
There are a number of things that I want to get to, but you guys just delivered a bit of sports media news that might be interesting in certain small circles, which is the executive vice president who has been running ESPN for a long time, quietly called out by Pat McAfee, Norby Williamson. It is being reported by his personal lackey in the media, Andrew Marchant of the New York Post, a bottom feeder who gets most of his information from Norby Williamson.
What will he do now?
At ESPN, that Norby Williamson is quitting ESPN, which means Pat McAfee is celebrating today because he has clearly wrestled control of the place, a place that has been run by Norby Williamson and producers for a long time. He has wrestled the place away from somebody that Pat McAfee called a rat. And you will get very little disagreement from many of the people who have worked for and around Norby Williamson that Pat McAfee's information was incorrect.
Andrew Marchand works for The Athletic now, so that will be $10 for me.
$10.05.
How does this work? Is Norby sports media talk? Because I have imaging for this.
Yes, sports media talk, yes.
Do you get annoyed every time Dan Le Batard pontificates about the sports media industry? Well, too bad, motherfucker.
He knows he don't give a damn about what he's gonna say. It's time for Sports Media Talk Today.
It's a $5 fine. It's not a $10 fine.
Oh, okay.
Intro.
Inflationary times is what we live in. Ryan Glasspiegel of the New York Post reports that Norby did not quit, that there was a difference in visions that were not aligned with ESPN's long-term strategy. And Burke Magnus, the new president of ESPN content from a year ago, made the decision to part ways with the season.
Ooh, that's McAfee's guy.
Burke Magnus.
McAfee went out of his
way. Shouted him out.
He celebrated Burt.
So what does that mean? Was that mutual?
Burke Magnus made the decision to part ways with the seasoned executive. That
so he's fired.
Ways where one person made the decision.
Yeah.
Strong name, by the way.
Burke Magnus.
That's a guy that makes decisions.
Oh, my gosh.
BM.
Put it on the poll. Stronger name, Burt or Norby?
Burke.
Yeah. Two last names.
Burt, not a strong name. Burke, strong as shit.
Mm-hmm.
That is two last names.
Two last names.
Burke,
yeah.
Magnus.
Last names.
Magnus is also like, it sounds like something from the movie.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
a power lifter.
It's world's strongest man, is what Magnus
or a hitman
is.
Of some sort.
Yeah.
It's true.
Watch out, Magnus is coming. You're like, yeah. Oh, shit.
Get Magnus on this.
Exactly.
And then Magnus is driving. He's wearing all black and sunglasses, even though it's nighttime. And he's driving like a Camaro or whatever. And then,
he's chasing James Bond.
And it's,
not,
and it's like, Magnus. And then, okay. Okay. And then he hangs up. And that's it. That's all. He never has to say anything.
Go for Magnus.
Go for Magnus. There you go. That's how he answers.
Does anyone care about this stuff? Does anyone care?
Well, you know I do.
Well, I know that sports media people do, but when I ask you about power and control, I've told you before that ESPN is a production company. It's run by producers. It's not run by the talent. It's never been run by the talent, and everything stays on the tracks. That's not mine. That is a means.
Another 10.
That is $5 for a mean. That's not my computer. That is a means computer. I don't know. Do you carry cash? Are you still an old time? Look at you. You carry cash. You and me might be the only two people here carrying cash. I don't know.
That's grosser than licking your fingers.
I got cash right here.
Oh, core terms.
Just happened to be changed, though.
I asked the question sincerely when the inner workings, this is the reason I asked the question, okay? Because people keep telling me right and left that I'm talking about things that our audience doesn't care about when it comes to the sports media. But every time I do, the numbers jump by a lot because people outside of our audience really want the dirt on the insides of what happens at ESPN, so much so that many of these people, like Marchand, can make an entire career out of just reporting on sports media information. And
every time you say Marchand, I think of Marshawn Lynch. And I have him kind of just like, Norby's out. Like, just and as he's popping Skittles.
If Marshawn Lynch was on the media beat, him as a breaking news reporter would be terrific.
He was great in Bottoms.
Oh my God, amazing at Bottoms.
Might be the best football movie I've ever watched.
Good point.
Football adjacent?
No, I think it's a football movie. You guys should watch it.
It ends on a football field.
Marshawn Lynch as an information guy. I'd like that. I'd like him just delivering the news however it is that he'd like to say it, because he's... but I ask the question sincerely. I know we're interested in it, but I wonder if the public at large is interested in how ESPN is run. It is the worldwide leader, and for many years, quietly, this person's name was not known when, I've told you before, this person was the person who was defending what seemed to be a lot of times at ESPN the most important thing, which is do not let any of the people who are in front of the cameras or with microphones set a precedent that other people can then have the power to use against the company. So when Dan Patrick wants a television in his office in the biggest show in America around sports with Keith Olbermann, they're like, you can't have a television in your office before doing the 11 p.m. Sports Center, because then Keith Olbermann will want...
Everyone wants a TV, which is the dumbest approach ever.
Thank you. The TV thing I never understood.
And now they all, last time I was in it, they all kind of have TVs in their offices
now. Part of it is because now TVs cost like $100, those small monitors.
Oh, was this when TVs were like?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. There was like a big box.
No, it's Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann. It was called The Big Show. It was like the biggest show.
Well,
they called it The Big Show.
He didn't like it that they called it The Big Show, because again, it made them a brand, and he didn't want any brand to be above ESPN.
But this is instructive to me. The biggest thing at ESPN was that SportsCenter built the whole thing, and don't contaminate it and corrupt it. It's what got Michael Smith and Jamel gone, is that, wait a minute, we're not ready for this revolution. The thing that needs to be protected is the SportsCenter brand. But the part to me that's interesting about what just happened today is, do you guys realize that Pat McAfee and Stephen A. Smith have now some sort of unprecedented power in the history of the place to call out an executive by name who runs the place, and shortly thereafter, the executive is gone? That's real and substantive shift of brand power. That's ESPN saying, conceding, as Iger is talking to shareholders about what ESPN's digital plan is in the future. What I've told you that's most interesting about the Pat McAfee deal, he blew up a four-year, $120 million deal to take this one at ESPN. And everyone thinks it's going to fail, but they're letting him do whatever he wants. They're all a little bit afraid of him, and he's not afraid of anybody.
I don't have any like dog in this fight. I never worked at ESPN with you guys, but I'm just wondering if you're a little jealous you weren't the one to do the...
I'm going to say this, man. There is something to when you're going... Because I've been through this now twice at two different places where you're going through something and you're like, how does everyone not see that he's the problem? And then you leave, and then shortly thereafter... Oh, yeah, that guy's a problem. Like, that's what I was saying for years, but everyone looked at me like I was crazy. This happened to me with the Suns, and it happened with ESPN with Norby. And it's just like, part of it, Jessica's like, you're about time. But then there's another part of it was like, why wasn't anyone listening when I was saying this shit?
But what is Jessica asking? Am I jealous of
not
what?
Jealous.
The amount of
you
power?
You could have been the one to do
that,
the thing.
Not the amount of power, that the idea that, like, when you butted heads with this individual, there was not this sort of reaction of like, wait a second, this is one of our brightest talents and, you know, an incredible creator. And this guy is a guy who, you know, tells people to, you know, not or stick to sports or whatever. Like, why are we siding with the other guy?
I blame myself for not realizing what McAfee realized, which is when you have the power of the president behind mm-hmm. you. In that case, it was John Skipper when I had it.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, McAfee has Pitaro and Iger, that would create a fearlessness that you can then trample just about anybody who's wronging you because you have the backing of the most powerful people in the place. I wasn't quite smart enough to see that I could have created a great deal more unrest, but I also wasn't trying to get anyone fired. And at the end, once Skipper leaves and Norby is in charge, I no longer have that power to do much of anything because it went right back to being a production company. Skipper was trying to rattle all that. He demoted Norby. Norby lost a bake-off. He's an ESPN lifer, and he lost it to a person who was a bit of a cardboard cutout. Like, it wasn't an impressive person that he lost it to, and then somehow made his way back up in the business. But for him to be run off as a lifer at ESPN, like, this is a crushing loss for him, that your last public act was to basically get totally undressed by Pat McAfee, who ends up winning today because the only reason people know your name is because he called you a rat, and a few months later he's more powerful than ever and you're now gone.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world, but once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So, when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite, less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Number 3, Chick-fil-A waffle fries.
Yeah, we can get mine.
Love it.
I think it's an overrated fry.
You guys go ketchup or Chick-fil-A sauce when you have the Chick-fil-A fry?
Polynesian sauce.
Polynesian. Wow. That's my brother right there.
Good call.
You're my brother.
Stugatz.
Oh, my God.
What a weird interaction.
Wow.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I mean, I do want your expertise on something because over the course of this year, a couple of different times, I've said to you off microphone, hey, the Lakers and the Warriors, that stuff's all done. The league has changed hands toward the young people, and the things that we've covered about the Warriors and the Lakers for the last 8 years, they're no longer so. The league has been taken away from them. And you have not been willing, because you respect champions so much, because you respect basketball veterans so much, because you respect that playoff basketball is different, you've never been willing to say to me that the Warriors and the Lakers are indeed done. Now we head toward the postseason. The Lakers and the Warriors are playing better. LeBron is saying we've got to be smart about the end of the season. I don't care about seeding. All that matters is being healthy. The league has a crisis as it relates to load management. The Clippers don't care what the season looks like. Is Kawhi going to be healthy in the playoffs is what matters. But I think most people listening to this, especially Heat fans, are expecting Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat to turn some magical thing on because they did it last year and did something that is damn near unprecedented in the sport. To ask for it to be recreated makes me feel like the Heat are less likely to be able to summon some turn it on in the playoffs than the Lakers and Warriors. I don't believe any of them are going to do it. But you respect playoff experience and the way the game changes more than I do. So help me get through that thicket of who I should believe in here, because I don't believe in any of them.
Right. So I always say that talent wins, right? But you can close that gap and maybe even overtake talent with experience. And an inexperienced, talented team ultimately will falter to a team that is more experienced, however, probably not as talented. So bearing that in mind and looking at the Western Conference standings, knowing that two out of the three top three seeds are going to be teams that are fairly light on experience.
OKC and Minnesota, you doubt. The thing that I don't doubt is Denver. Well, Denver has, for 2 years, has been better than all of these teams we're talking about.
And they are. And so, you know, you asked the question about, out of the Lakers and the Warriors and then the Heat, which do you expect or give the most kind of leeway to be the one that overcomes? And you kind of said, well, you know, it's kind of felt like the Heat because the Heat did it last year. I think you could argue the Lakers did it last year, too. If we look at it, they both lost to the same team. The Heat managed to get one game off of them. The Lakers did not. So in terms of, like, experiences, the Heat and the Lakers both started in the play-in, both went on runs, beating teams that were less experienced than them, and then got to a place where they had to play someone who was the best team with the best player, and both got annihilated in that regard. So I would say that, first of all, it's not that big of a gap between what the Lakers did and what the Heat did. And then second of all, I would say that the thing that the Heat don't have, that the Lakers and the Warriors both do have, is what we've experienced over the last, like I said, 6 to 8 weeks of watching Heat basketball, which is you guys execute, you play hard, you defend, you're smart, you're the best coach in the league, all that stuff. But at some point in NBA playoff basketball, or NBA basketball in general, you kind of just need someone who's like, F everything, I'm so talented, I can make this happen. I can will this game to happen. And the Warriors have Steph Curry, and the Lakers have LeBron James, and the Heat have Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler, of those three guys, is the guy that is like, doesn't do it every single night, right? Or doesn't do it every time out. And what we've done is we've actually given him a ton of credit of saying it's because he doesn't choose to, right? It's amazing.
Last night would have been a good time for him to choose to.
Any other player in the league who has this kind of inconsistent pattern, we don't give them the benefit of the doubt. We say, oh, man, that guy's inconsistent. You can't count on him. Jimmy's the only one where we're like, well, it was a choice. He chose not to do it. He chose not to do it. And maybe it has been. And maybe it still continues to be. But the reality is, and this comes for everybody, elite players, when they start to fall off, they rarely fall off a cliff. What it looks like is he's great one night and he's not great the other night. And it's like, is it a choice? Was last night a choice by Jimmy Butler? Or is he starting to lose it?
Is he starting to roll down the hill, maybe?
He's starting to roll down the hill because, you know, Jeremy brought this up during the break. He couldn't post up Kyle Lowry, and I don't think that was because he chose not to. Kyle Lowry literally turned to the Heat bench, flexed his arms several times, said, I'm too strong. You can't do that to me. And then he proceeded to never try to post him up again.
Is this all because like Jimmy will then have like a 45-point game in the playoffs and Heat fans will be like, see? We told you. Jimmy's trying tonight. But then he'll do that until he can't.
Exactly. And again, like I'm not saying unequivocally this is the beginning of the end of Jimmy Butler. I'm just saying in general, when you see
this is what it would look like.
Exactly. That like star players who are great one night and not great the next night or don't step up the next night. It's not because they're choosing, I'm a chill tonight. It's usually because that's how the end starts to look. I'm hot tonight, I'm not hot the next night.
It's fair to ask these questions, considering the scoring output recently from Jimmy. If you look, like last night, they were plus 10 with him on the floor, right? And his defense was really solid, but his lack of aggressiveness in terms of scoring was surprising, and you've seen it all regular season long where he's not really searching for contact at the rim in the way that we've seen him do it in the playoffs. And so that's sort of the question that you have, right? Is like, is he saving his body for the postseason? We were asking these same questions last year, to be honest, in the final couple of weeks of the season as they were fighting for play-in position in a similar spot. So it's one of those, I think, for everybody, particularly Heat fans and the people who cover the Heat, it's like, we're going to have to see him not do it in the playoffs before deciding, hey, this is how this is going to go.
Last time I saw him in the playoffs, he was not doing it in the playoffs against Denver.
This is alarming because Amin has been out in front and spot on with his Jimmy takes throughout the years. Remember, before we had Jimmy, we were skeptical and he was like, he's a dude.
A superstar.
And now before we're ready for him to be done, Amin's kind of telling us. So I'm a little scared here that Amin might be right.
I have a lot on what he just said, okay? Shaq said when he dubbed himself the big Aristotle and made the jump from underachiever to champion and MVP. He called himself the big Aristotle because he said, you are what you consistently do. And that is exactly how a superstar ages, where you can't even tell watching. It's the same body. And you can convince yourself, well, fouls hurt. And I wouldn't want to try and get 16 of them during an NBA regular season game when LeBron is telling you, I don't care about seeding. I care about health. So they are the near the rim is where it hurts to play basketball the most. It's hardest to get stuff there. And you fought. Look, man, Embiid has gotten very good at falling down and his body is breaking apart because it's harder to be stronger than all of those people. But one of the things that Amin is saying that makes me laugh at the idea that you are trusting a person because very often he puts 45-point games up in the playoffs that you weren't expecting. You are trusting a person who people in that league say, it was Josh Hart who said Jimmy goes on these side crusades that include him being on a horse. I've never seen this before in Miami, in the place where it is that he is, which is Jimmy Butler physically on a horse in Miami traffic. This is not Davey. He's in a cowboy hat. He's a country music fan who fancies himself a bit of a cowboy, and I've seen him around town on a motorized bike. He enjoys the outdoors here. He enjoys his fame. He enjoys being seen. But I thought to myself, this has to be a commercial for something, right? He's not going to work on a horse through Miami traffic, right? This isn't just Jimmy hanging around on the side with one of his side crusades. What is this?
I mean, it's Jimmy being Jimmy. Like, that's kind of how he behaves.
I was going to say, are we sure it's Jimmy? But who else could get away with doing this? Like, only someone like Jimmy could get away with doing this.
Who else could it be?
I don't know. I saw a video the other day that was going viral of some woman who brought a bed into, like, the intersection in Brickell and was, like, taking pictures on it in the middle of traffic. And I was like, What's going on here?
It was early that day, though.
I'm going to tell you something. Miami leads the league in like
weird shit people, that you'll see in the street.
People doing weird shit for social.
For clout.
For clicks, yeah.
I will ask the question, when it comes to Jimmy and the Heat, if he just hits that three at the end of the game last night, right?
Yeah.
He had a decent look. Mm-hmm. He hits that three at the end of the game. The Heat win. They basically close out the Sixers from being able to catch them. Now, obviously, they're in a play-in situation where they're probably going to end up in the play-in.
Right.
He hits that three. He leads the team in scoring. They beat the 76ers in what was a crazy game that they had no business in being in. Mm-hmm. They're getting healthy at the right time. Tyler Hero travels with the team. are we even having this conversation? Well, and it's not to say that we shouldn't, but is one shot going to sort of determine how we feel?
So the positivity would have been overwhelming because the team has been playing better recently.
A lot better. Their defense, and this is what will carry them, their defense the last couple of months has been either best in the league or close to best in the
league.
They're
number four in the league in defensive rating even after being horrendous to start the year.
They've been stellar defensively. And if he hits that shot, then people just say, well, he made it when it counts. But I got to shout out Ethan Skolnick on this one because he told me, look at Jimmy's numbers against the top 10 defenses in the league.
Yeah.
He's struggled. He has struggled against tough defenses.
That's right.
And again, I don't think that's a choice.
Is that most guys, though? Like, don't most guys eat against bad and do?
Yeah, absolutely. I always say any season numbers, whether it's a team or an individual, is built on the corpses of bad playing Detroit and Washington and teams like that.
The Blazers.
And the Blazers, right? But also, this is the guy that is anointed as when it matters, when it counts. Or when that's your brand, but when it matters and when it counts, you struggle consistently all year long. And I don't think that's been the case for him in years past. Here's my thing. I don't think anybody is above questioning. I'm not here to tell you, Chris, oh, Jimmy's done. This is it. This is how it ends, right? I'm just saying, I don't know if this is a choice. That's what I'm asking that question. Now, he may come when the playoffs start and game one has a crazy game one like he did against Milwaukee and they go on a great run. Sure. But that doesn't change the fact that, like, you can't do it every night, can you?
Heat, Bucks, first round.
Oh, my God.
And the Bucks.
What if it's the same exact route?
It might be. Heat, it might very well be Bucks, Knicks, Celtics. See you there.
No shot we do it again.
Okay, get the tape ready.
That's what we said last year.
Yep.
Who's the number one pick this year?
Christ.
Don Levitard.
Amino Hassan.
Stugatz.
Amino Hassan.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
To Amin's point, incidentally, on the TV screen right now is Ime Udoka saying of his Houston Rockets, who were playing at home last night against the Warriors, who finished them. Ime Udoka called his players soft and not ready and deer in headlights, and we weren't ready for the moment.
Heat Rockets tonight.
The Rockets have been very good for a while, and Golden State dragged them last night in their own building, when a lot of people were saying, oh, you don't want to see the Rockets in the playoffs. Look at hot at the right time, in keeping what it is that Amin is saying, that things are about to change. And one of the things that will change is that Eric Spoelstra will have seven games against a single team to figure out a number of different things about that single team.
Well, he's got to get out of the play-in first.
Which they barely did last year, which a lot of people forget.
Yep.
Because a lot of people forget that with 4 minutes left in what would have ended their season, they were down at home against a bad Bulls team before then beating Giannis. I just don't think they can do that again. I don't think they have the wherewithal to do all of that, even though I trust this team. I trust its management. I just think that the top end of what's happening in basketball is too good for the bottom end of these play-in games this year.
The Bucks are also worse than they were last year.
The Bucks are. That is correct.
But so are the Heat. No, but I mean, if we're going to talk about where the Heat are and where they stand in comparison to last season, like, the Celtics are the only runaway dominant team in the East. If you look at the rest of the East, the Bucks are struggling. The Cavs are struggling.
The Knicks are struggling.
The Magic. It's like no matter who you end up getting in that first round, you have a puncher's chance.
I think it's disgusting that we've talked about the NBA for this long when this is one of the best college basketball weekends of the year. And last night I watched our buddy Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the NIT championship game.
It was so good. The end of that game was so good.
Dan, it was devastating. Indiana State lost to Seton Hall, and the Seton Hall coach after the game literally went up to our buddy Robbie, lifted his chin up and said, hey, keep your chin up. Literally lifted
all
his chin up.
All chins?
Come on.
Jesus.
Come on.
He's our friend.
Don't fat shame Avi.
Only fat shame
His nickname
me.
Is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You think I'm fat shaming him?
I don't think that's a fat thing.
I think that's a white. I don't think it's
white.
Because he likes heavy cream in his coffee.
Although he probably does.
Yikes.
Anywho, it was electric. Unfortunately, Indiana State, my Sycamores, they lost, which was a bummer. But tonight we have a big matchup. Lucy's in Cleveland right now.
Yes.
For the Final Four.
Yes.
She had COVID last week,
She's
Tony.
Back, Jack.
She wasn't able to
she
go to Albany.
Week.
Yeah, well,
Tony, it's 2024,
man. Spans a week. Yeah, like she was sick last week, and now she's feeling better. I assume. She has been testing. She has been testing, and I trust her that she is now testing negative. Yes, people still test.
Oh, sorry, you heard that?
Yes, COVID still sucks. I had it.
It exists.
Lucy actually early in the week told us about it.
I don't recommend COVID. It's still got hands in 2024.
Exactly. So Lucy will be in Cleveland. The Iowa UConn game is the late game, 9 o'clock. So that means it's going to tip off at like 9:30.
Yeah.
Because
prime time.
The networks.
Put the kids to bed.
The networks, they hate telling us what time a game will actually start.
No.
And the South Carolina NC State game's right before it. So it's probably going to be a little buffer.
I'm going to say this. I said this yesterday before the show, and I got frowns and I got called a Jeremy Joker for saying this. But it's not a joke. It's not a joke. If UConn beats Iowa and Paige Beckers has a big game, she needs to go in that post game and say, from now on, call me Paige Betters because I'm betters than her.
Did you make that joke yesterday?
I didn't make that joke.
He made it off air.
Why would you say that?
It's not a joke.
We all told you it wasn't funny.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to. What is this?
I'm
not trying to tell you a joke. I'm actually serious. I think Paige Beckers ought to call herself Paige Betters if she
that's
wins, obviously.
That's hilarious.
I think that's great, Amin.
I don't like your allies. Paige Beckers is like, every time she is asked any question about like herself or sports or anything, like she always has the smartest answer. Like she's probably the last player that I'd ever be like, yeah, she's the one who's going to say, I'm Paige Betters.
That's
now.
Why.
Like she's literally
you
asked in the Final Four press conference, like, something about like next year, like, are you going to be the Caitlin Clark? Are you going to be the focal point of women's basketball? And she was like, I hope not, because there's like a lot of good players, and I hope we can spread our attention across all of the great players in women's basketball. And everyone was like, This girl gets it.
This is what she said. I don't need
you got to want the attention if you're her.
I said, I don't need to be Caitlin Clark because I'm Paige Betters.
Again, you're
I'm
doing
Betters.
That.
I'm Betters than her.
Yeah, we got it.
Because Paige Buckets is dumb. Her name isn't Paige Bookers, her name's Paige Beckers. So that's why better and better.
That's good analysis. I'm really excited for the game. UConn has like no healthy players, and if they get in foul trouble, it could get ugly. And actually, the way that I've been gauging my bracket this year is like based off of Notre Dame games this year, because Notre Dame was a Sweet 16 team. They're very good. They have one of the best players in the country in Hannah Hidalgo, ACC Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. And Notre Dame has played 3 of the 4 teams in this Final Four, and they beat UConn at UConn.
Okay, Mike. Relax, Mike. Okay, this is the Mike
difference between me and Mike is that Notre Dame is actually a pretty good measuring stick because they're very good at basketball. They're very close to being in the Elite Eight.
Blue Bloods?
If it weren't for Hannah Hidalgo's nose ring, that's a whole other story. We don't have to get into that. But anyways, they beat NC State in the ACC championship game, but they lost them early in the season. NC State held them to like 43 points. But they played South Carolina all the way back at the beginning of the season, if you remember, in Paris, and South Carolina beat them by like 30 points. So, I mean, it was way back. That was a long time ago. It was like 6 months ago. But I've got South Carolina still. But UConn, I'm like, Notre Dame beat them at home. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, UConn, UConn, like, it was shaky for them.
Because of the injuries. Because, the Notre Dame game at UConn, they got in foul trouble, and Notre Dame had some really good matchups in the third and fourth quarter because of it, and they were able to dominate basically in the third quarter and win the game. And if something like that happens tonight, and it almost happened against USC earlier this week, they had a couple players with 4 fouls. It's dicey because they've had like the worst injury luck, I think, of almost any team you can imagine. So many players with season-ending injuries this year that they're playing with like 7 players basically every night, and that it's tough.
Will Gino learn from Kim Mulkey's sins?
Let me analyze this for a second
we're doing college basketball.
I want to talk about college basketball, but I also want to talk about Jessica's frustration from yesterday, where she is saying that some of the college basketball coverage of women's basketball is dumb and hot takey, and she is
Paige
right.
Betters.
Is what I was just going to say. She's breaking down a pretty fun weekend, and your response, the guy who came in here yesterday and said Kim Mulkey is terrible, doesn't know what she's doing, clearly a college coach. I could fix everything there in a day. She's just someone who yells people.
Hasn't won anything.
She yells at people to make them better as opposed to scheming. You fixed everything about the game after watching it for a half hour. I just really am enjoying that her analysis is that this analysis stinks, and your rebuttal a day later with time to think about it is, what if I made Paige Becker's page better?
I'm going to defend you for a second.
Thank
because
you.
I think something got a little misconstrued yesterday, which happens when like the social team, I'm not blaming them, but they put out like a 40-second clip and there's a little bit of context missing. I don't mind like dumb hot take like, who's the GOAT? Is Caitlin Clark the GOAT? That is like not what I was talking about. I was talking about like
Lobo.
Sue Bird.
The overt racism and sexism in a lot of the coverage that I've seen on mainstream shows. I'm not talking about like, oh, is Cheryl Miller the GOAT? Is Caitlin Clark? That's fine. Like that is what we do with men's sports. And I feel like we got kind of caught up in a couple different conversations happening at once.
I appreciate your lukewarm support of
Paige Betters is fine. I'm not upset about it. It's a bad joke. That's all I'm saying.
It's not a joke. Why does everyone keep calling it a bad joke? I'm being serious.
You're trying to do like wordplay and it's just not.
I tell you
bad
what.
Bad wordplay.
I bet you if the New York Post will disagree, that back page will say Paige Betters tomorrow night or tomorrow morning. But then.
And everyone's always like, the New York Post is the funniest.
That's the barometer.
Newspaper
well,
on earth.
You come up with some good ass puns and get on the back of the New York Post and then you talk to me.
First, that's the job that I was always meant to do. Is I should just be the guy who writes the back page of the New York Post.
It's a great. You walk around the city, you see people on the subway holding up, you're like, that's
First Take is great at it in the TV game.
The lower third, yep. They do a good job. But then I have to stick up for myself even more than Jessica's lukewarm defense.
That was a hot pocket straight out of the oven, hot defense.
Tuesday, the day after the game, I broke down for the first like half of the first segment of the show. Basketball analysis about how they were guarding.
They were going under.
Clark.
You can't
They're
go under.
Going under.
No hedging.
And no hedging and no blitzing.
No blitzing.
And no switching personnel and all that stuff. Do not tell me that my analysis yesterday
didn't.
Was. No, I'm talking to Dan.
Okay.
Do not
Dan, it's your fault.
Do not tell me that my analysis was that Kim Mulkey just yells. That wasn't my analysis. My analysis was actually very X's and O's rooted.
Astute defensive analysis for him.
Thank you.
My counter to your analysis, though, how do you defend Caitlin Clark? Like, we will see in the next two games.
We talked about it.
If Gino and Don Staley, and especially Don Staley, who's like one of the best coaches in women's basketball history and like an all-star defender, if she can't figure it out, then like maybe when you hit 9 threes from 30 feet out, it's just hard to defend that.
Amin is now going to show us with his broken back, 45-year-old body.
It's not my broken back. Like if I say like this, you go like you're not talking to the microphone. So,
well, you've gotten up. You've gotten up to show how to defend.
I'm
going
to go in there and help him.
Yes, please
here,
blitz her. Go
He's
ahead.
On the field. Things yes. always crushed.
All right,
this
go
is
ahead.
Helpful.
This
sure.
is great. So now Tony and Amin are both going to defend
elite
Caitlin,
athletes like
Caitlin Clark, 30 feet it's, from the basket.
Okay. All right. First of all, let's not be dumbasses. I'm not saying I could go Caitlin Clark.
It's not me, dumbasses.
I'm happy
it's such a
understand,
great place
to understand that me and Tony are proxies for the actual athletes playing, right? This is how they were going. So that's the screen right there, right? Right?
Tony does not think he's a proxy, by the way.
Tony for sure thinks he could guard Clayton Clark.
Tony will be the big who is guarding the screener. Imagine Caitlin Clark zooming past the screen right here. I'm trying to guard her. This is what Iowa did.
Can you just cut off his microphone? Like, I mean,
you know
I
what?
Don't
all of this
do
is
this.
To say.
No, you know what? No, cut
Notre
my
Dame
cut my fucking microphone
Iowa
off. No, Dan
Levitard.
Hold on.
The best defender
give me a second,
in college
give me,
basketball.
God,
she's
Jesus
averaging
Christ.
5 steals a game.
How are we making
she
this about
so
Notre Dame?
She is so quick and so fast.
Wait,
she's just snatched that ball. She just snatched
Dan
it.
Dan demands.
The NCAA doesn't want you to see that.
Dan demands that we have smarter analysis.
They don't want you to wear jewelry.
I try to give him smarter analysis. He's like, cut his microphone off. Oh, what is he doing? Oh, he's standing up and trying to show us.
Sometimes salt and vinegar chips really affect your fingers.
You guys
okay?
are so ridiculous.
I could tell.
All you want is a clown show. You don't want analysis. You don't want education. You guys want us to put on red clown noses and big colorful wigs and say do. That's what I'll do for you guys. And don't anybody ever talk to me about how we're not analyzing this smart enough.
And you better watch out.
We don't know how to cover this game. Oh, why does anyone know how to cover the game?
No one's doing this better than us.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite, less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs in premium regular beer.